Okay. All right, 4 o'clock, so we'll bring this meeting, call it the order of the Board of Adjustment of February 20th, 2019. Roll call vote.
McGill.
Here.
Youngberg.
Here.
Scarlett.
Here.
Brecky, absent. Neubauer, absent.
In front of you, we have a tentative agenda for this afternoon's meeting. Do I hear any additions or subtractions from the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda will stay as represented. Also in front of you are the minutes of our previous meeting of 116 and 19. Do I hear any additions or corrections to the minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
So moved.
Motion and second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Minutes are sustained. Next one in front of you, we've been struggling with the election of officers, trying to get everyone here. I made a suggestion to Jerry, those two people that are here, we could elect them as officers.
That's what happens.
However, I'm not sure that there are any political ramifications for that. So, I guess I'm opening the floor for nominations for officers for the coming year.
Yeah, select the chair first.
Chairman first.
And vice chair.
Are you willing to be chair for another year, Steve?
Yeah, I would.
So moved.
I second that before he changes his mind.
You can just do a voice vote. Okay, we have a motion for McGill as chair for the coming year. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Vice chair, then. I will nominate Lynn Scarlett if she's willing to also.
I will do it.
So moved.
Can I second that?
I second.
Okay, Steve second.
Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same signs. Motion carries. We'll tell Mr. Brecky, Mr. Neubauer, they missed their chance in the starting.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Did you guys approve the findings?
Not yet, that's next.
No, that's next on our agenda. Also in front of you are the finding of facts for variance 0718. Any additions, subtractions?
That was Prairie Vineyards. The building setback.
Vineyard.
The south of Story City.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Finding then, probably need a motion to accept.
I move that we accept the findings of fact on VAR 0718.
There's a second.
Certain.
Motion and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same time. Okay, moving on, just a little bit on how this meeting is going to work. What we'll do is we'll open the floor up for any public comments on anything or any past that we have had, business we've taken care of. And after that, then we'll open it up and we'll address the variance requests that are in front of us. The way that works is first we'll have the staff get their impressions, their recommendations, and then we'll ask for comments from the requested individual. And we'll go back and forth, probably have any other comments after that from either party, and then we'll close, deliberate, and do the decision we have this evening. So on that motion, any comments from the floor? Hearing none, then we'll move on to VAR 119, Wigger's variance request. Million.
Yeah. So this is a variance. The applicant is here tonight, Ken Wiggers. He lives at 53109 280 Street in Kelly. That's the location of the variance request as well. And it's a request to allow 3 dwelling units in one dwelling on a parcel located in the A1 Agricultural District where only one dwelling unit is per parcel. So it's a density request for that one unit per parcel requirement. The future land use of this property is located within the Ames Urban Fringe, and the future land use is natural area due to floodplain. And oh, I'll show you the set in here. So I think it's important on this to understand kind of our definition of what makes a family and a dwelling unit, because we are looking at how many units are in this dwelling. So our definition is that a dwelling unit is a group of rooms or a room which are arranged, designed, or used as living quarters for the occupancy of one family, containing a bathroom and or kitchen. And family could be, you know, folks that are related, and it can also include up to two roomers. So with these two definitions, you know, what we have found is if you have one single family dwelling, yes, you can have two roomers, but those roomers cannot have separate units. So there has to be a shared kitchen or bathroom. So the existing dwelling was constructed in 1965. We don't have records of a permit for it, but the applicant indicated that at that time he purchased it in 1965, so 11 years later, the basement had already been converted to a second unit. Again, we don't have records of this. The assessor's records that we were able to find from 1981 indicate that it had been converted. The permit that we had, and then in 1982, the applicant himself converted the attached garage into a third unit for his mother at that time. We don't have any records of the garage conversion either. However, we will note that since 1965, and probably since zoning was adopted in Story County in the A1 Agricultural District, a single-family dwelling is the only type of dwelling that has been converted. So when this was done, it would be considered an illegal non-conforming use. Our department first became aware of the three units when a complaint was received in 2016 about parking in the right-of-way, and that there had been a conversion of the dwelling to three units. At that point, we completed a site visit. It identified the basement unit in addition to the main floor dwelling and then that attached garage unit. We had issued a permit in 2015 for an addition on the dwelling. This addition was actually where a new kitchen for the basement dwelling was to be located and is located. At that time, based on the plans that were submitted, it didn't appear that the kitchen was going to be in the basement. It kind of looked like it might be on the first floor. We weren't aware that there were two dwellings. And let's see, at that time we worked with the applicant and property owner to reach an agreement instead of pursuing the code enforcement group. That agreement was that at the time that the tenants vacated the unit in the garage, a tenant was living there, the kitchen appliances be removed, so it's not like a full kitchen, and that in that new addition where a new kitchen was being constructed for the basement unit, again, that wouldn't be a full kitchen, appliances not being installed. However, we received another complaint in January of 2019 that the appliances had been installed and those were being used as separate units still. The attached garage is currently being rented to two tenants and the basement is also being rented to two tenants. So at that point, we met with the applicant and provided a couple different options, and they chose to pursue the variance route to the density in the A1 Agricultural District. So this is the property. I put a box over the dwelling, but it's so clear on the new projector. I don't know if I'm going to need a box in the future. And you can also see there's floodplain in the property, and so that's related to the natural area designation in the Ames Urban Fringe plan. I'll also point out this is the driveway onto the property. You can see there's an accessory building constructed here. We do have a permit for that. This is a camper that's being parked here in front of the accessory structure. And just there's a significant slope that you'll see down to this floodplain area on the property.
What's the dome?
This is an older agricultural building.
And does the driveway go beyond the RV?
No.
Okay.
There's a sidewalk.
Okay.
I have a photo of it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And this is the applicant's provided interior plans. So this is the first floor. So in this general area is the main dwelling unit for the applicant's family. So you can see there's a bedroom here and two bedrooms here. There's one bathroom for this master bath, and then there's a second bathroom. And then there's a living room and the kitchen. And this is the addition that was constructed in 2015 that's being used as a family room. The attached garage is located on the east side of the dwelling. So that's been converted kind of to a studio unit. There's a high divider in between the bedroom and the kitchen and dining and living area, and there's a bathroom. These units are connected by a dryer and washer room. There's doors in the dryer and washer room. This is the basement interior plan. So the basement unit doesn't include these areas to the direction, the south of the dwelling. It's mainly this area. So you can see there's a bathroom, a living room. This bedroom is included. I apologize. This playroom is not included. You take the stairs down from the main floor unit and enter this playroom, and then you get into the unit through the playroom. There's also an entrance on a paper patio, so it's a walkout. So that's the other exterior entrance. But you can see there's also this kitchen that was located in that 2015 addition. The assessor does show that this storage area is a bedroom as well, so they count six total bedrooms in the house, but the applicant does indicate they're just using this one bedroom over here for the basement unit for five total bedrooms. So this is looking northwest on the dwelling from the driveway, and this is the paved sidewalk you asked about. This is looking north on the driveway. I tried to put some photos together because I couldn't get it in one panorama, but that's the camper you saw earlier. And so this is from the driveway looking south. You can see there's a dwelling located across 280th. This is looking east and west on 280th. So mainly farm fields adjacent and a few dwellings as well. So this is looking north on the dwelling and entrances to the first floor unit on this left-hand door, and the right-hand door is the attached garage unit. This is looking at the path to the basement unit, so I'm looking up towards 280th, and then we're looking southwest on the basement unit entrance here. This is the first floor unit kitchen, so this is the main unit for the applicant's family. This is their 2015 addition. These are the bathrooms. This is the garage unit's kitchen. So you can see this is the washer-dryer room, and through there you can see into the other unit where the applicant's family resides. This is the garage unit's bathroom and bedroom. This is the basement unit kitchen, so this is in the 2015 addition. This is the basement unit bathroom and bedroom. I wanted to show you the city land uses. So this is the subject property highlighted here. Adjacent property to the north in kind of extends westerly is a 29-acre parcel. Primarily in row crop production. There is some floodplain area and woodland area as well. And you'll notice that this is the Dakota Access Pipeline, just for reference. The property adjacent to the subject property to the east contains a single family dwelling. This one. And there's also a single family dwelling here. The properties to the south include a dwelling with some area in agriculture, kind of a farmstead, and then this parcel is also in row crop production. Over here, while not adjacent, this is Key Cooperative, so they are zoned A2 agribusiness. This this is the Timber Road area. There's a couple different subdivisions in this area, if you're familiar. This property is located approximately 1.15 miles east of Kelly. So that would be over here towards Key Cooperative is Kelly. And in that Timber Road area, there's approximately 26 dwellings total within a half mile, 61 parcels. There's a lot of residential zoning, so you can see kind of the brown and yellow overlay. So this zoning district allows a reduced lot size, but of the other parcels located in the A1 Agricultural District that have dwellings, all those parcels are also located on parcels under 35 acres, so it's a little bit of a denser residential area. However, it's pretty rural. I think the average lot size is 5.5 acres for a house in this area. There's no parcels within a half mile zone for to allow a multiple family dwelling. There's no other conversions that we have records of to a multiple family dwelling. We actually looked at all of the properties within 2 miles as well. That would include most of the residentially zoned properties in Kelly. And there's only one dwelling that's been converted, according to the assessor's office, to a three-unit dwelling within that 2 miles, and that is inside the city of Kelly. So these are the principles for a variance. I know you guys are familiar with them. But regarding the first one, which is a finding of unnecessary hardship, this first one asks about the reasonable return, and if it without the variance, a reasonable return can be yielded. So what that means is, without this variance, you cannot establish any beneficial use on your property. There is an existing single-family dwelling that would be permitted. In 1965, when the parcel was created, we had a one-acre lot size in the A1 district for a single-family dwelling, so that parcel is considered legal non-conforming, so you can have a single-family dwelling, even though it is undersized. So you would be able to have a single family dwelling without this variance. Further, based on our definition of family, you could have two roomers in addition to the folks you're related to. I think where we're running into the issue is that they're separate units. And there are four roomers currently. In 2016, the applicant did enter into an agreement with the department to reconfigure the dwelling so that it would meet the one unit definition, so that there would be a shared kitchen facility by removing appliances after tenants vacated the property. And so based on this ability, the applicant's past willingness to reconfigure the dwelling, we've concluded that the principle of reasonable return is not met for the variance request. The second finding of a necessary hardship is about the plight of the owner being due to unique circumstances. The applicant does indicate that they purchased the property in 76 and there was another unit in the basement. And they have had that garage converted for a while since 1982. However, we don't have any permits for these conversions or for the dwelling. And we did issue a permit for the addition in 2015, but it wasn't clear that they were adding on and allowing another kitchen to be built in that second unit. And so overall, in both the case of the conversion of the garage and the addition, the property owner himself expanded that illegal non-conforming use. We found that this is not due to unique circumstances since the property owner was responsible. And further, when given the option through that agreement with the department when we received a complaint in 2016 to bring the dwelling back to one unit, the property owner did not follow that agreement. The final finding of a necessary hardship is that the use to be authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. I included the property owner's application on the agenda center. But one thing the property owner pointed out is that there's a lot of cities that are amending their zoning codes to allow for three-unit conversions of single-family dwellings. And so given the fact that we just are limited to single-family dwellings in the A1 district, one might conclude that the condition of the locality is only due to our zoning district allowing single-family dwellings. However, the character of the locality is also rural residential, so that's characterized by large lots with single-family dwellings and large agricultural parcels. And so in this character, you've got adjacent properties including single-family dwellings, parcels, and agricultural row crop use. And again, within a half mile, the average size of a parcel with a single-family dwelling is 5.5 acres. And so if we granted this variance request, the resulting density of the property would actually be 1.9 units per acre. So that's less than the surrounding area. It'd be more dense of a use. Further, the character of the locality does not include any non-conforming multiple family dwellings other than this that we have a record of. There's no parcel zoned within a half mile to permit multiple family dwellings. And further, there's only one three-family conversion in the city of Kelly. There's five duplexes, according to the assessor's records, but there's only one other three-family unit within 2 miles of the subject property. So it is an anomaly. It's not within the character of the area. And finally, if we're looking at the future land use, the property's designated natural area, and so a principle for this is to prevent new subdivisions for non-farm residential development. Typically, if you're putting another dwelling unit, like a separate house on a parcel, that's not permitted. You have to do a subdivision. So in that rationale, adding more units isn't within that natural area granting the variance will not be contrary to the public interest is the second finding the board must make. I wanted to bring up some comments we received from other departments. For this standard, we did route this to Story County Department's Environmental Health Department that noted that the septic system was installed in 97 to serve a three-bedroom house. And so that would allow a maximum of six people, two people per bedroom is assumed. And so the septic system is undersized for the current use. Again, the property owner indicates that there's five bedrooms. In addition to his four-person family, there are two tenants in each unit for a total of eight. This system could be upsized. I'll get into some recommendations here. If the board were to grant the variance, we'd recommend that as a condition. The Story County engineer also indicated that they have received multiple violations. Issued multiple violations over the past 10 years to the property owner for work in their right-of-way, including parking in the right-of-way. The parking on the site is really limited, as you saw. That camper also limits the ability to park in the accessory structure or in front of the accessory structure. While the property indicates they have plans to sell the camper, he does also acknowledge that overall, with the slope of the property and floodplain, parking is really limited on the site. So we would also recommend, if you granted the variance, that somehow parking of adequate size be provided on the site for those tenants. So no one's parking in the right-of-way. County engineer wanted the variance to have stipulations that prohibit any vehicle from being parked in the right-of-way if this were granted. This is, I think, the Kelly Blacktop Road. E57 to E98. And finally, Story County does not have an adopted building or rental code. We have a zoning code, but that doesn't include standards for the International Fire Code, for instance. And so we recommend that if the variance were granted, some administrator of the International Fire Code inspect the property and that their recommendations are implemented. Whether that's requiring, a one-hour burn wall in between each unit, or making sure there's adequate extinguishers or smoke detectors. The property owner did indicate that there were smoke detectors, however. But just having someone with that authority to review the use to make sure International Fire Code. The final finding is that the spirit and intent of the Story County Development Plan and land development regulations are protected. So we have the Story County Comprehensive Plan, the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, as well as our Story County Land Development Regulations. These all have similar spirits and intents to maintain the county's rural character in this area through designating it natural area and A1 agricultural. Again, new subdivisions for non-farm residential development are not encouraged in the natural area. They're prohibited. The A1 agricultural district statement of intent states that it's a district designed to accommodate land uses compatible with agriculture and protect agricultural land. Preserve rural character by limiting development of most new non-farm dwellings to large lots. In some instances, the district does permit non-farm residential development on smaller lots if there's a low agricultural value, like we've seen in that area where there's the average lot size is 5.5 acres for a single family dwelling. The property owner, again, pointed to cities where single-family zoning districts are being amended to allow multiple units in a dwelling. And staff concurs that this strategy is being used to provide a greater range of affordable housing in cities, though. And so, again, we're in the A1 agricultural district in a natural area. Limited to no development is encouraged by these districts. We do, in Story County, have a zoning district where multiple family dwellings would be permitted. This district does also allow neighborhoods to be commercial because in siting and allowing for denser housing, it's also important to think about amenities. Do they have access to job centers and schools and public transportation? And so staff concluded that a three-unit dwelling is not within the intent of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan or the Land Development Regulations. We mailed notification letters to surrounding property owners within a quarter mile on the 13th. We received 3 comments. 2 were verbal from those property owners within a quarter mile. They were in opposition, and they cited concerns including compatibility with the agricultural zoning district, issues of parking space on the property and in the right-of-way. The camper located in the driveway, visibility, concerns about the septic system and fire protection. A written letter was received from a former tenant in opposition. And just to summarize, the letter included images of vehicles parked in the right-of-way and voiced additional concerns about walkway to the basement, maintaining the walkways, and the history of removing appliances from the units for inspection and then reinstalling them. These are the county environmental health and engineers' comments that we went through already about the septic system size and parking in a right-of-way. We did not receive any comments from cities within the urban fringe plan or within 2 miles of Kelly Field recordings. So just a few summarizing points. A family, based on our definition, can include up to 2 roomers. So you could have 2 renters if a kitchen or bathroom are shared between those folks in the family. In converting the garage into a dwelling unit and adding an addition with a new kitchen to the basement unit, the property owner did himself expand this use. We entered into an agreement to convert the dwelling back to 1 unit in 2016 after we received a complaint. However, this did not occur, and we received another complaint in January of 2019 about there being 3 dwelling units. The septic system sized for a 3-bedroom house or 6 people. Parking on the site is pretty limited. As we don't have an adopted building or rental code, we have not had an inspection for compliance with International Fire Code. Development is not encouraged in the natural area. Limited development is encouraged in the A1 agricultural zoning district. The existing character of the locality is rural residential with an average lot size of 5.5 acres. And this variance would increase the density and allow more intense use than is typical of the locality. So these are your alternatives. We are recommending denial of the variance request. If that happened, we would work with the property owner to convert the dwelling back to one unit through a compliance schedule or potentially code enforcement. Any questions for me?
Did you say comments?
Yes, before.
Staff, or any questions for staff?
Not right now.
Okay.
All right. Well, I would say first off, this removing appliances.
Could you go over to our podium so we've got our recorders and microphones over there and state your name?
Yes.
Thank you.
This comment about removing appliances is just plain nonsense. That's just not true. Now, it's not an excuse, but I wasn't aware of the single family dwelling until either 15 or 16, probably 16. And as was stated, we had that permit for the addition, and I understand it wasn't clear where that kitchen was going, and that, when identified as a separate unit and all that, but I didn't realize we had to do that kind of thing. We are on 5.5 acres, and I'm not quite sure what that all meant. Something about the average of 1.9 acre average per family unit or something like that. The septic tank, that kind of thing, that's a mechanical thing that can be remedied. The inspection, like with the fire code, that of course can be done. I have rental property in Ames, and we get all those kind of inspections. And as far as contrary to public interest, I guess I really can't see quite what that is. I as an indicator, I took this packet of literature around to people in the quarter mile radius park. And there's quite a few differences in, let's say, the facilities, the appearance of places. And I think if you go down our road, you've got places that look kind of like junkyards. And I don't think that's really with the residential character, the rural character that we would be looking for. I guess I would like to know the two that were negative, if there were any particular reason. I guess maybe something was stated. This zoning, as was indicated here, and as you have in the information, was quite a move towards removing single-family dwelling because of affordability of housing. That's something all across the country. And, for ourselves there, this is a kind of a thwarted retirement plan. I have Social Security. I don't have a pension from a job-related thing. I have a 2.5-year-old and a 6-year-old, and we are able to, because of the situation we have right now, able to save for their 529, and that's something that will affect them, roughly 20 years from now. So, this thing is very important for us. Things like the camper, at the very quickest thing that could be done, rather than selling, which I would like to get rid of, but would be to take it somewhere else and just pay the rent. There's places you can take that. Take it to, there's a place in Webster City, a place over in Nevada, or not Nevada, but east on Highway 30. 20 acres or something like that. I don't know what, there's not much else I can say. I did have one comment that I think was a negative. She never really said, but she made the comment that you provide housing for those foreigners. Well, that, first of all, stunned me. secondly, I found it kind of depressing that we have that kind of attitude around. And it happens to be my wife is Chinese, and the couple downstairs are Chinese. I've known him for 6 or 7 years. I have him as a tenant in Ames. And the reason he got down there last August is because of a misunderstanding with the lease. And the couple that are in the granny flat are Laotian. And they're refugees from Laos because of the bombing and all that kind of stuff there. I could present a little bit of irony here that they might have to move out because of, you don't want to say another government regulation, government policies. That couple, the Lao couple work, they go to work on 2:30, 3 o'clock, come back, I don't know what time, 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock. They say just work late, they're just trying to save money. And a couple downstairs, as I said, he just got through with his PhD program and is starting on his postdoc. A couple downstairs, they're good friends, fishing, sometimes nanny, daycare, you know, nanny, that kind of thing. Both our children are as fluent in Chinese as they are in English, certainly because of the mother, and also because of the couple downstairs and other Chinese families we spend time with. Another thing that we want to do is to get that Chinese education more, is go to China and spend a length of time there, 6 months, 10 months, something like that. School, and all they see, all they hear is Chinese. Well, that's, you know, when you're gone like that, you really need somebody in the house. The longest time I've been out of the country traveling was 21 months, and I had a young man staying there at that time, and that worked okay. But you really can't just have somebody move in when you leave and then come out when you come back. I don't think there's much point in me going through this, these articles that I've put before you, but it's pretty clear that there is a move to get away from single-family dwelling. I would add that the neighbor right to the east has an 81-year-old father that she would like to move in at a separate apartment because of just like my mother, you know, kind of you're separate but still there. But she now is aware that this is could be complicated. So I don't know. I guess there's really, I don't think there's any, you probably thumb through these articles, and there's not much more I can say about those. They're all pretty clear, pretty good. So I guess that's about all I'd have to say.
Questions?
Do you have questions?
I have one question. If, assuming, I don't know how many rentals you have in Ames, so this is not
a triplex and a duplex. Triplex and a duplex.
So you have to be aware of how, as much as we may or may not appreciate all the rules and regulations as a landlord, one also.
Yeah.
But, so I'm curious as to when you have that knowledge and you're transforming your single dwelling and wanting to make it an income producing thing for your retirement, and you've been contacted in the past, why wouldn't you do everything possible to make sure that you were compliant?
Well, one was 1980. One was, the garage conversion was 1982. It's kind of a crazy thing, but 1976 is when I purchased the house I'm living in and the rental properties in Ames. And, I was aware of, I never had a deal.
Forget 1976, forget 1982. But because of your connection with the apartments in 2016.
But I'm in a an R2 district, and I've never had to think about that at all.
I'll go along with that, but again, the question that Karen had, the same one I have. 2016, this was all brought up.
Well,
why did you ignore what happened in 2016?
Well, that's another thing I wanted to mention. But by the time this, it was say inspection in 2016, it was virtually done. Everything was sitting there. Well, most of the stuff was all cabinets. Most of the things were installed. If not installed, they were sitting there, ready to basically be pushed back in place. So I wish I would have known more about, let's say a request for variance at that time to kind of, let's say, get this passed. But, you know, it's just really not very practical to kind of undo things that you've already done. As far as relationship with Ames and Reynolds there, I've just never had any issues with, you know, the thought to pay much attention. Ames has changed their rental things too some recent. So I mean, it's a little bit of a sign of times changing. One other thing. This is noted in some of these articles. This single-family dwelling is something that came up, started up after World War II, with the GI Bill, a lot of houses being built, all this kind of thing. And it's kind of a, how like some things are, they go up and then they go back maybe where they were. And that seems to be the case. I guess as far as this land use, I wasn't aware of anything about this Ames, whatever it was, land use rule, whatever it was, urban thing, fringe. As far as my own on my own property, one of the big problems with forested areas in Iowa is invasives. And I pretty much got rid of invasives from my own place for a great deal of effort and expense. And the right-of-way parking, yeah, that's, I'm aware of that now. And some of that had to do with getting logs out of the area and having a place to load them up. And one time, especially, the guy that was going to get them didn't come as quick as he would. Roadsides, I keep litter cleaned up on both sides of the road. And the area over the creek that has the guardrail, that's always trimmed up. I mean, I have my faults, but I have the other side too.
So, any other questions? Question for staff. You mentioned, Amelia, when you started in on this, that you'd given some alternatives, and the one that we chose to do was go the variance route. What were the other alternatives?
Yep. The variance, you know, getting rid of those extra appliances or converting the kitchens to be shared again, pursuing a text amendment to the A1 Agricultural District, or potentially a rezoning to the district where multiple family dwellings would be permitted. That would, however, also require an Ames Urban Fringe Plan amendment. And it is in that natural area, so, but that was given as an option. So compliance, rezoning, text amendment, variance. I will say that letter in 2016, the agreement letter was on the agenda center, and that did bring up the options of variance as well.
Okay.
That,
good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other comments?
No, I don't think so. We don't stand out there. Most people don't even know there's a house there, just kind of down, out of sight. Just the whole place is, it's hard to find a level spot on the place. It's a nice place. It's a great place. I like the creek, a lot of wildlife, all that kind of stuff. I take care of it. I've planted thousands of trees and bushes. And I quite frankly sneak into the neighbor sometimes, plant trees and bushes out there, too. Like on the, where the pipeline went through. You know, I'll plant things out there. Why not?
Thank you. Any more comments out of staff?
Just again, that you can have two other tenants besides your family. It's just the extra units that's the issue here.
Okay. Hearing none further, we'll close the meeting and we'll go into deliberation. Board. I guess I have empathy with your situation, but at the same time I go back to 2016.
Oh,
no, that's fine. We're talking. The letters you received, the agreements you've had, I guess from where I sit, it looks like you're given this alternative. You didn't do it, so we're back here now talking about variance. I can speak for myself. No, given an alternative back then, I don't think that I want to approve the variance. But that's just we're talking right now amongst the board.
I also feel that you're well versed in rentals, and so that by still being able to have two renters in your home, that being compliant with everything else it needs to be followed. So my thought process is, I'm all about retirement income myself, and I think it would be wise to, my personal feeling is to not do the variance, or to deny the variance because of your other alternatives.
That's where I'm at, too.
Then I'll entertain a motion.
I move that the Story County Board of Adjustment denies the Wiggers variance request as requested by the applicant and put forth in case VAR 0119 for a variance to allow three dwelling units on one parcel in the A1 Agricultural District in which one dwelling unit is permitted on each parcel.
Second.
A motion by Scarlett. A second. All in favor, signify. We'll have roll call though, please.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye. I'd suggest you work with staff here and see what you can do there. I do have empathy for your situation, but at the same time,
Have what?
Empathy.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
You have a nice place.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're a good steward of the land, that kind of thing. But just the situation with the renters and code and zoning needs to be more compliant.
Okay. Moving on. Any other comments?
We were just going to share with you that so far we have a request for a conditional use permit for a new tower out by Zering, 130th and 720th Streets, a proposed 195-foot tall lattice-type tower. There's several different areas that are proposed to be located on it, which include FirstNet and AT&T, so that's something that we'll be looking for. But again, the deadline hasn't come yet, so there may be some other cases to review. We did get some information from Iowa State Extension. We try to offer training for new Board of Adjustment members, and we extended the information out to them after the county will pay for that training. We'll follow up with him. And then just a general note, we're planning on doing some outreach. Some of the things that you guys review, outreach on home business permit applications,
benefits to that.
So we feel like it's time to, you know, invite them here, talk about the changes, talk about the new rules, transportation impact analysis. It's a new ordinance that impacts subdivisions or lots, the major subdivisions, any commercial or industrial development. And there's a requirement that the applicant have their engineer provide analysis on how many trips that are going to be generated from a proposed improvement. From that, we'll determine whether or not a detailed study will need to be done. And the goal is to try to figure out, based on the proposed project, you know, what the impact on the local roads would be. So we need to do some outreach on that. We're working on a stormwater drainage erosion control ordinance, and we're hopeful that that's going to be supported by the Planning and Zoning Commission and ultimately the Board of Supervisors. So there'll be some outreach on that. And then agritourism, there's been some adjustments to that. We had some existing agritourism uses that expanded beyond what the original intent was. And so there was kind of a rewrite that took place to try to get back to the roots that they need to demonstrate that they're growing or that they're, you know, raising livestock before they can do this accessory or alternative activity, the tourism activity. So again, we're going to be doing some outreach on those things. So just want to share that with you. And then too, if there's anything that you think staff could help with just board development. Again, I mentioned the training that we'd like to send Matthew to that the Iowa State Extension puts on, which is a really good 2 or 3 hour session on the role of the Board Adjustment and the Planning and Zoning Commission. But if there's something that you think would be helpful, we'd be happy to, you know, put some training on, you know, at the staff level or bring somebody in. So maybe think about that and let us know.
Question I've got for you, and this is more information. Take a situation where the recommendation or variance has been turned down or whatever, the applicant, in essence, of course, what are your actions?
Like in this particular situation, it will be a lot like our response in 2016 in that we want to work with the applicant. But this will be the second time around, and we're going to be mindful of that. Amelia put up our definitions of what a dwelling unit is, and we are going through the entire ordinance, and we've had some internal discussions on some possibilities of strengthening that definition, because it's not uncommon for people to have a bathroom on a lower level. It's not uncommon for people to have maybe a kitchenette on a lower level. And the way this is worded, if you have a bathroom or a kitchen in combination with some other rooms, that's considered a separate unit. So we don't have an adopted building code. But a lot of times with building codes, what you see is the combination of the kitchen, the bathroom, and the bedroom, making it a unit. So likely we're going to be looking at, you know, strengthening that, looking at what the adjacent counties are doing, other counties in the state.
But I think, to your question, we have a chapter on infractions. First, we're to try to gain voluntary compliance, and when all reasonable efforts have failed, we can issue a citation.
We will ask him for a written compliance schedule on his plans to comply with the county's ordinance. And that's part of what we have to figure out is if it's reasonable. But again, we went this route in 2016, it didn't work, so we're going to be mindful of that. But we're going to try that again. And like
I can't
said,
believe he's meeting fire code.
Well, the county doesn't have those codes like Ames does or maybe Nevada.
Didn't we have that school down by?
So, in that situation, I guess we don't have an adopted fire code at the county level, so we don't enforce it or inspect it. But there is the international fire code, and so somebody from the the Nevada Fire Department could do an inspection and identify violations.
And my question was not only surrounding this instance, but we've had several through here that we've issued follow-up.
Yep.
Basically, if they ignore what we've said and just go about and do it anyway.
Right. I think the Hickory Grove manufactured home community is a good example of that. You know, we worked for compliance after your decision, and now there's a citation.
That turned into court action.
That's in court action.
Well, that's what we want to know. Is that, I mean, I think the point is we want to also, as a board, know that if we're standing with Story County rules and regulations, that if people don't do what they're supposed to do, is there penalty?
Exactly. So. We sent them, Hickory Grove, the property owner, a notice of violation, then a citation, and they didn't respond. So that ultimately ended up in court action, which we're still waiting for a decision.
Anything else? All right.
Nope. We adjourn.
Yay.
Thank you.
So moved.
Wow.